Wednesday, March 7th, 2018, you are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from the Mile High City, that is Denver, Colorado. We do get together every single weekday. We talk sports. We try to bring you a common sense approach to the world of sports, try to separate logic and emotion, and see if we can come up with what just makes the most sense. We are happy to have you with us today. Happy Wednesday to you. We have made it to Wednesday. There's something to be said for that. Plow through Wednesday, and it's all downhill from here, isn't it? I mean, aside from Thursday. Thursday is kind of that roadblock between us and the weekend. But hey, okay, just get through Wednesday. Yes, we'll have the Thursday thing, but then Friday, and then you're on to the weekend. Almost there, folks. We're almost there. If you'd like to contact us, we would love to hear from you. Hit us up on email, dailydosesports@gmail.com, or go find us over on Facebook or Twitter. Both of those handles are at Daily Dose Sports. Maybe you've got a question or a comment. Maybe you have a suggestion or you need some advice. If you've got a question for us, feel free to shoot it to us over on Facebook or Twitter or email us. We would love to hear from you. Today on the show, we do have a few things to get to. We've got a little breaking news. There's a story coming out right now that I want to discuss. Because when I heard it, I was a little bit surprised by it. Maybe not quite in the way that you think. Want to take a look at a few stories coming out. I also want to take a look at some of the hottest teams in the country because March Madness is coming next week already. Can you believe that? Time flies. Time flies when football ends, at least until we get to the summer. But March Madness is going to be here next week. Cannot wait for that. And as we do every single Wednesday, we will have our Daily Dose Hump Day Power Rankings.
Hump Day!
What could we be ranking today? Give you just a little hint. Just might be NFL flavored. One of the things coming out, story coming out that I wanted to touch on today was the fact that Cleveland Cavaliers forward Kevin Love has opened up about suffering a panic attack during a game earlier this season. Said it led to him addressing his mental health. He actually published an essay on the Players Tribune on Tuesday. You know, Love was taken to the hospital back in November when the Cavaliers faced the Atlanta Hawks with what he described at the time as severe stomach pain and shortness of breath. Now, in the story that is on the Players Tribune, he said the symptoms were caused by a panic attack. According to Kevin Love, it came out of nowhere. I had never had one before. I didn't even know if they were real, but it was real. As real as a broken hand or a sprained ankle. Since that day, everything I think about my mental health has changed. He wrote that he knew something was wrong at the start of the game before the symptoms hit full on in the third quarter. Not like at halftime, not like between quarters, in the middle of the game it hit him. He left the game, he was accompanied by a member of the Cavaliers staff, went to the hospital. Then you remember, he rejoined the team and played against Milwaukee just 2 days later. Now, since that panic attack, Love has said that he's been seeing a therapist a few times a month. And he says that the reason he was able to come out and talk about it was the fact that he heard Toronto Raptors guard DeMar DeRozan acknowledging that he suffers from depression. And as a result, Love felt confident enough to come out and say, hey, I was having a panic attack. I didn't know what was going on. It was a physical thing that I couldn't deal with. I was getting ready for games and I didn't know what to do. Now, I know a lot of people are going to hear this. And a lot of people are going to say, Kevin Love is soft. Kevin Love has problems. Kevin Love is this, or Kevin Love just isn't tough enough. You know, the thing that stands out to me the most about this story, honestly, I'm surprised these kind of things don't happen more. When you stop and you think about what these athletes do on such a huge stage, you know, just a few weeks ago, we did our Daily Dose Top 5. We talked about the top 5 GOATs of all time. And it wasn't the good kind of GOATs. I'm the GOAT. You know, it wasn't the greatest of all time. It was the people who cost their team the game, or at least that's kind of what gets said about them. I disagree with that mentality. But it's about the people who made the big play that we all remember as losing the game. I mean, no one wants to be those guys, right? People have nightmares about that kind of thing. I am shocked. Genuinely, I'm surprised this doesn't happen more. We have seen it. You might not realize it, but we have seen guys do this before in sports. Do you remember back, what was that, 1989? The Cincinnati Bengals are getting ready to play the San Francisco 49ers in the Super Bowl. Stanley Wilson, like, goes AWOL. They find him in the bathroom on cocaine, passed out of his mind. You think that was anything less than this? Remember Eugene Robinson, defensive back for the Atlanta Falcons? Before the Falcons Super Bowl game with the Denver Broncos, he's out the night before getting a hooker. This is a guy who has, I don't believe, any history of this as a family man. What in the world is he doing? The night before the biggest game of his life, what is he doing? He's wrecking his life. He's ruining his team's chances. You know what he's doing? He's melting down. He's panicking. When we think about what these athletes have to be on that stage, it's not just the people in the stadium. As big as that is, it's not just the people in the stadium. It's the millions watching worldwide. Think of what these athletes do on such a gigantic stage. I mean, when you think about it in those terms, and you think about your own life, like you have anxiety, oh, I got to go talk to my boss today. Oh man, I don't want to talk to my boss. He's probably going to fire me. I'm probably in trouble. I knew I shouldn't have been on that website during work hours. Yeah, we kind of have panic attacks about that. I got to get on the highway. I hate driving on the highway, whatever it might be. I don't feel that good today. I wonder if there's something wrong with me. Think of the anxieties you just deal with on a day-to-day level. Imagine getting on a stage in front of 50 million people or whatever it is for the biggest game of your life. I'm surprised these things don't happen more often. This isn't weakness. This isn't being soft. And I promise you, there are going to be people that say, Kevin Love is just soft. He's just weak. That's not the case. These are people that actually have physical ailments. These are people that have mental ailments that they've got to work through. They've got to figure out. But I mean, we have stresses and anxieties in everyday life. Imagine doing what these guys do. It kind of gets brushed to the side until we see someone like Barrett Robbins right before the Super Bowl for the Oakland Raiders go AWOL. That's what that was. It might not have been labeled that at the time, but that's what that was. That is a panic attack full on. I hope Kevin Love helps some people by hearing his story, because this is real life and those are the things that people face. A couple other things coming out in the world of sports. Miami Dolphins owner Stephen Ross says that all players on his team will stand for the national anthem starting next season. All of our players will be standing, Ross told the New York Daily News on Monday. You know, last year, wide receiver Kenny Stills, safety Michael Thomas, and tight end Julius Thomas all knelt during the national anthem several times. Now, only Stills is probably still going to be with the Dolphins, as the other two are probably going to be free agents. But Ross said he's not going to tolerate anyone kneeling. Initially, I totally supported the players in what they were doing, Ross said. It's America. People should be able to really speak about their choices. But Ross told a newspaper down in Miami that he came to the decision on requiring players to stand because he felt the message that was being sent by kneeling players was unpatriotic and anti-military. When the message changed, Ross said, and everybody was interpreting it as that was the reason, then I was against the kneeling. That's what Ross told the Daily News. Yeah, here's the thing about Stephen Ross. I don't believe a word that comes out of his mouth. Like, there's not anything that was said that I believe a word of. I don't believe any of this has anything to do with unpatriotic. I don't think it has anything to do with being anti-military. I don't think it has to do with any of that stuff. You know what Stephen Ross's big motivation is for this? In making his players stand, in forcing his players to stand? Money. Let's be real clear. It's money. I'm not saying I agree or disagree with him. I'm just saying, let's be real clear about what the motivation is. It has nothing to do with patriotism. It has everything to do with, I don't want to anger our clients. And these fans that come to the games are the clients. And these people that are watching are the clients. And I don't know if the reason for NFL ratings being down is because of the kneeling, but just in case, I'm going to make sure that everyone on the Miami Dolphins team stands because I want to make more money. That's the bottom line. Let's be real clear about that. Has nothing to do with anything else. He's worried about his profit margins. That is his reason for making this political move. Hey, coming back, March Madness is coming very, very quickly. It's already going to be here next week. You know, sometimes it doesn't matter who has played well all year. It just matters who is playing well right now. We are going to take a look at some of the hottest teams as we go into March Madness. You know, one other quick story coming out just before we talk some March Madness, the Los Angeles Rams have placed the non-exclusive franchise tag on defensive back LaMarcus Joyner. They did that on Tuesday, the last day for NFL teams to use that designation. The value for Joyner is a little over $11 million for the 2018 season. Now, the Rams would still like to sign Joyner to a long-term deal. They have until mid-July to do that. But the thing that's interesting about the Rams signing Joyner on the franchise tag is that means wide receiver Sammy Watkins, he's going to be a free agent. Just want you to keep that in mind. Sammy Watkins will be a free agent. They just traded for him. They just got him. Remember, he was on that one-year deal. He's going to be a free agent already. That tells me something. Tells me something. Okay, the men's NCAA basketball tournament will fully begin 1 week from tomorrow. Yes, we have those goofy little play-in games before that. But while there are a number of teams that will contend for this title, one thing we always have to consider as we go into a tournament like this, as we get ready to start filling out your brackets, start writing in which teams we think are going to make it, which teams are going to win the whole thing, more importantly, which teams are going to win you the money in your office pool, you might want to consider which teams are playing hot right now. Who is playing the best basketball right now? Doesn't matter what you did back in December. Makes no difference. I saw that one team back in Hawaii at the Christmas tournament and they looked so good. Yeah, that doesn't matter. Those days are gone. I mean, hopefully they learned something or got better from that, but those days are over. Now we're looking at who is playing well right now. And here's the thing. These might not be the teams that are the favorites, but these teams could knock out the favorites because they're playing extremely good basketball down the stretch. I've got five teams for you. They are red hot going into the dance. We'll see if they can stay that way. A couple of them have a few games still to go, but we'll see if they can stay that way. And a couple of them, we'll see if they can even make the dance. But I can promise you this, there are other teams that are in the tournament going, oh, I hope they don't make it. I hope they don't make it because they're playing really, really good basketball. This first team up is an example of exactly that. Because the Notre Dame Fighting Irish, they have been a disappointment for the majority of the season. They are 18 and 13. Honestly, I don't know if they're going to make it to the tournament. I really don't. But here's the thing. The Irish just got Bonzi Colson back from a broken bone in his foot. And Colson makes the Irish a very dangerous team. If they can get into the tournament. And we don't know if they can. They haven't had the best record. But with Colson back in the lineup, Notre Dame just played number one Virginia to a very tight game. They eventually did lose by just 5 points. Now, it's going to be worth watching the ACC tournament just to see, can Notre Dame win a few games, play deep enough into that tournament to get the attention of the selection committee? The selection committee in the past has considered if you have had a substantial injury during your season. They have done that for teams in the past. Would they consider Notre Dame to get in now that they are back at full strength? Bonzi Colson really changes this team. We know Mike Bray can coach some offense. If I were other teams out there, I would be hoping Notre Dame doesn't get in because they're just dangerous enough to be a pain. Notre Dame is a red hot team as we go down the stretch. Another team up. The Cincinnati Bearcats, you know, they finished out their regular season on a very positive note on Sunday, going into Wichita and beating those Wichita State Shockers in a close game. That was a really, really good game. I watched most of that. Now, I realize Cincinnati doesn't have a ton of great wins over big-time opponents, but they are playing very, very good basketball right now, and with their defensive talent, they are a team to watch as we go into next week because Cincinnati allows just 57 points a game. Now, that might not sound that great, pretty good in the country, but they're playing in the American Athletic Conference. I mean, they're playing teams like Wichita. They're playing teams like Houston and Tulsa. They do score some points. We can argue about whether those teams are quality teams or not. They do score some points. Cincinnati is holding teams all year to just 57 points a game. They will be in the tournament. We know that. And because of the way they play defense, because of the way they rebound, Cincinnati Bearcats are going to be a tough out. Want to watch that American Athletic Conference tournament as we get further into this week, because that should be really interesting to see, can Cincinnati stay on a roll? Got another team, and I'm going to go back to the ACC. But it's taken a while for the Miami Hurricanes to get going, but they are coming on the closer to the tournament that we get. You know, they started the season 10-0. Red hot. Hurricanes looked really, really good. But then they sustained some injuries. They played 500 ball through like January and February. Win one, lose one. Win two, lose two. And like I said, they did have to deal with a few injuries. It slowed their progress. Now, point guard Chris Likes is coming into his own. He's just a freshman. And when you have young guards like that, they've got to start to learn some things. They've got to start to figure out some things. How do I get us into our sets? How do I communicate with my coach? How do I communicate with the rest of my team members? Chris Likes is starting to grow up a little bit as a freshman. And as a result, Miami is starting to get really, really dangerous. They've now won four in a row. Now, you might hear that and say, big deal. Four wins, who cares? Yeah, those wins include Miami beat North Carolina and Miami beat Virginia Tech. Those are two pretty good wins. Keep an eye on the Miami Hurricanes as we get into the tournament. Next team up on our hottest teams in the country, and there may not be a hotter team in the country than this one, in the Big Ten, because John Beilein's group at Michigan is playing red hot basketball right now. The Michigan Wolverines have won 9 games in a row. They closed out their regular season with a win in the Big Ten Tournament Championship. They win the Big Ten with a victory over a very solid Purdue team on Sunday. And you know, in this stretch that Michigan has put together, they have beaten other quality teams. They also beat number 8 Ohio State and number 2 Michigan State on this run. The thing I'm really starting to like about Michigan, and I've told you before, a lot of times John Beilein has some really, really great offenses. Sometimes his defenses aren't quite as solid. This team is very, very good defensively, but what I like about this Michigan team this year, not only are they good defensively, not only are they efficient, they might not be the prettiest team, but this Michigan team is tough. As we used to say, you know, back when we were coaching, they've got some sand on them. They're a little bit gritty. Might not be that pretty, but they're not afraid to dive for loose balls. They're not afraid to take some charges. They're not afraid to mix it up. And as a result, the Michigan Wolverines are a team. They are capable of winning the national championship. I don't know if they're going to do it, but I'm really starting to like what I see for Michigan. These kind of teams that have that toughness, especially a physical and mental toughness to them, yeah, they tend to do pretty well in the tournament because you know you're going to get challenged. You know you're going to have that game that you face adversity in. That's why I'm starting to like the toughness of this Michigan Wolverine team. Michigan going to be very, very tough because they are playing red hot right now. Final team we've got on our hottest teams in college hoops right now. Hey, if we're going to talk about the hottest teams in the college landscape right now, we have to mention the longest current win streak in the country, don't we? And you might not know who that belongs to because it belongs to the Murray State Racers. They've actually already punched their ticket to the big dance. They won the Ohio Valley Conference Tournament this past weekend, and the Racers have won 13 games in a row. Here's the thing about Murray State. They can play well at both ends of the floor. Jonathan Stark and Terrell Miller, that's a nice 1-2 punch offensively. And at the other end, the Racers hold their opponents to just 65 points a game. You know, Murray State has not lost a game since January 18th. And there's something to be said for a team that just finds ways to win. Oh, I know. I know what you're saying. They play in a small conference. They're not beating anyone great. They're just 4-4 versus the RPI top 150. But when you win 13 games in a row, I promise you, you have won games when you didn't have your best stuff. You have won games when maybe you weren't feeling it, or maybe your shots weren't falling, or maybe things weren't going your way. You still found ways to win games. And we all know that is what the NCAA tournament is about. Can you find ways to survive and advance? This Murray State team, they have found ways. Yes, it's been against a little bit less talent, but they have found ways to win, you know, when they weren't feeling their best. Something we said for that. I can't wait for the NCAA tournament. It's going to be a fun, wide open tournament. I think there are probably about 10 or 12 teams that can go all the way and win this thing. I think it's going to be a lot of fun to see. Hey, coming back, we will have our Daily Dose Hump Day Power Rankings.
Hump Day!
We know the NFL free agency, it's already beginning next Wednesday afternoon. How does this free agency class look? And more importantly, who are the best players that are going to be available? Just a quick reminder, if you've got any shopping to do, you might as well head over to lootcrate.com/dailydose where you can find the latest pop culture collectibles. They feature your favorite TV shows, movies, and video games. March's Loot Crate theme, it's called Playback, and it features items from Back to the Future, Sonic the Hedgehog, Dungeons and Dragons, and The Simpsons. And if you aren't interested in any of those franchises, go over to Loot Crate, because I promise you they're going to have something over there that you like. They've got a ton of franchises over there, and they've got a million different items to choose from. You can find just about anything you're looking for. The best part about ordering from Loot Crate, when you check out, make sure you type Daily Dose into the coupon box. We are going to get you 10% off of your order. Okay, now, as we do every single week, we've got to get to our Daily Dose Hump Day Power Rankings.
Hump Day!
Let's be real clear. This is not a great free agent class. Most of the top players are being franchised, for one. When we look down the list, I mean, the Cowboys already franchised DeMarcus Lawrence. Looks like Le'Veon Bell is being franchised by the Pittsburgh Steelers. The Miami Dolphins put the tag on Jarvis Landry. We know that the San Francisco 49ers are signing Jimmy Garoppolo to that huge deal. There are a few players out there. But I'm just throwing this out there. If you think your team is going to get significantly better through the free agent market, yeah, you're going to be bitterly disappointed this year. There just isn't that much talent out there. But we do want to take a look at who the best players are in free agency. Next week, Wednesday afternoon at 4 p.m., free agency begins officially. We know that a lot of these deals are done prior to that 4 p.m. deadline. So if you have a certain player that you're looking at, you're hoping your team signs, I mean, they should be available probably until about 4:05 p.m. But right now, we are going to count down the top five NFL free agents that are coming on the market. Starting off with number five, the Jacksonville Jaguars have told wide receiver Allen Robinson they're not going to use the franchise tag on him. That's what they said yesterday. And yesterday was the final day for NFL teams to use that tag. Now, it is still possible for Jacksonville and Allen Robinson to come to an agreement, but Robinson would become an unrestricted free agent if it's not done by next week. The Jaguars do have exclusive negotiating rights with him until March 12th, which is next Monday. Now, don't forget, I know he's coming off the injury, but Robinson was huge in 2015. He caught 80 passes and had 14 touchdowns. He hasn't done a whole lot since. Sure didn't look very good in 2016, but that might have been because he plays with Blake Bortles. Now, he played in just one game this last year before he blew his ACL. But here's the thing about Allen Robinson. He's only 24 years old. He's still a young guy. He is a talented wide receiver. If your team can go out and get Allen Robinson, and he does come back healthy, there's no question he's a talented guy. I don't know if I'd pay a ton for him, but there's no question Allen Robinson is one of the best free agents out there. Number four, best free agent on our list today. He's a guy that couldn't get on the field in the Super Bowl for whatever reason. I don't know why, but Malcolm Butler went from being Super Bowl hero to not even getting to play. Here's the thing about Malcolm Butler. Don't forget where he came from. He is a small school guy. He went to West Alabama. He was undrafted. And somehow, he ended up being the hero in the Super Bowl for the New England Patriots. He has proven to be one of the top cornerbacks in the NFL. I don't know what happened in that Super Bowl. I don't know if that was a personal issue. I don't know if that was a rule infraction. I don't know what happened with Malcolm Butler in the Super Bowl. But we have seen him be a very, very quality football player over the last few years. He's only 27 years old. He's probably going to demand a pretty big contract. He could be a guy that the New England Patriots are going to lose because I don't think they're going to pay him. After what happened in the Super Bowl, I don't think there's any chance he's staying in New England. He's number four on our list. Moving up to number three. Maybe your team needs offensive line help. Most teams do. There is a very, very good offensive lineman out there. The problem is, of course, he's not a tackle. He's a guard. But the Carolina Panthers' Andrew Norwell is one of the top guards in the NFL. I mean, he's gotten better every single year. He is one of the best guards in the entire league. He's probably going to keep getting better. He's only 26 years old. Again, good, young, and talented. That's a nice combination. If your team needs offensive line help ASAP, you can plug Andrew Norwell in immediately. Again, it's a guard. It's not a tackle. But the interior of your line is going to improve significantly if you go get Norwell. That is a guy I would definitely have on my radar if I was looking to help my offensive line. Moving up to number two on our list of the best free agents that are going to be available. Might surprise you who I'm going to put here, because it might not be who you're thinking. Because this guy hasn't won a lot. But then again, he hasn't exactly been in the healthiest situation while playing in Washington, because Kirk Cousins doesn't have a ton of help. He has looked good at times in losses, if that's worth anything. I don't know what that's worth. He has thrown for 81 touchdowns. He hasn't won that much. And that does concern me a little bit if I'm looking at Kirk Cousins. Now, it sounds like the Minnesota Vikings have the inside track on signing Cousins. Couple of cautions they just throw out there. First off, hey, Kirk Cousins, no pressure, Super Bowl victory or bust to a team that's never won one before. No pressure or anything. Good luck. And one other additional thing for Kirk Cousins signing with Minnesota, keep in mind that of the AFC or the NFC, the NFC definitely has the better teams. The NFC definitely has the better quarterbacks. The NFC definitely has the better opposing defenses for him to face. Now, I'm not trying to spin some scenario where Kirk Cousins comes to Denver. I don't care if he comes to Denver or not. That's not my angle here. I'm just saying the NFC is a lot tougher than the AFC. If I were him, I would at least consider a few options before I just went and signed with Minnesota. Minnesota looks like the most complete team, like the team most ready to win if they just had a quarterback. Minnesota also is going to have some huge expectations for Kirk Cousins. Hey, you're the savior. Come do something that no one's ever been able to do before. Good luck, Kirk Cousins. We'll see if he ends up in Minnesota. So who could be my top free agent? The top free agent that is going to be available next Wednesday when free agency gets started. Oh, I know. He's not leaving. He's not going anywhere. And I agree with that. He probably isn't. But if I were an NFL team and I needed a franchise quarterback, oh, I'd go offer Drew Brees all the money that I possibly had to offer. Hey, if you need a franchise quarterback and you have some money, I'm at least going to try. I mean, think about some of these teams that are out there. Think about someone like Cleveland. If you offer Drew Brees $100 million guaranteed, hey, I know he has a relationship with New Orleans. I know he likes it down in New Orleans. I know he's whatever, saint for life or whatever. I get all that. $100 million guaranteed? Like, that's kind of tough to walk away from, isn't it? That's a lot of money for anyone to say no to. Like, go find the richest guy ever and say, hey, would you rather have $100 million or not have it? He's going to take it. You might not have much else if you're Cleveland, but you would have a franchise quarterback for, I don't know, 2 or 3 years maybe. If I am an NFL team out there that has some money, and there are teams that have money, we know that the Browns have a ton of money. We know that the Jets have a ton of money. Someone like the Indianapolis Colts, depending on how Andrew Luck is, they've got a good amount of money. Would any of these teams make a run at Drew Brees, who I truly believe is the best free agent out there? Would it be tough to get him to leave New Orleans? Yes. But we've all seen before, everybody seems to have a price. Hey, tomorrow on the Daily Dose, we will be discussing the latest in sports news, see what stories just might be coming out, and we just might, we'll see if we have time, continue to get ready for March Madness, which is beginning very, very soon. And as usual on Thursday, we will have our Daily Dose overreactions of the week. You never know what sports media stories are coming out that we just might have to address and discuss, are they worthy of our time or not. I have to say thank you so much for listening to and for sharing the show. Thank you for the emails. Thank you for the texts and the tweets. It is all very appreciated. If you would like to contact us, hit us up on email, dailydosesports@gmail.com, or go find us over on Facebook or Twitter. We would love to hear from you. I have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all tomorrow. Have a wonderful Wednesday.